Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. The podcast can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege and delight to be talking with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story with us. So please join me in welcoming Miranda. Hey, Miranda, how's it going?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited about the opportunity to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited myself. I'm honored that you chose me, actually.
Oh,
I'm very excited.
Oh, great. Well, I think this is going to be a great conversation then. So to get us started, would you mind formally introducing yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, if you don't mind, how old you are, and what you do to keep yourself busy?
All right, awesome. I can do that. My name is Miranda Smith. I'm from the Northern Kentucky area. I'm about 20 minutes from Cincinnati, Ohio. So I usually just say that I'm from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I go to school full time at Northern Kentucky University. I'm studying computer information technology and minoring in computer forensics. I don't really know what I want to do with it, but something along those lines, mixing like IT department with criminal justice, I would love, or working for the government in the future, I would absolutely love. Right now, though, I'm a waitress at a local restaurant here in Cincinnati. It's called Gold Star Chili. I don't know if you all have ever heard of like Skyline Chili. It's a competitor of Skyline Chili, which is going nationwide. It's only a Cincinnati thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's very good, though. I've been a waitress now, though, for about 3 years, and I absolutely love it. And everybody always finds it weird that I stutter and I'm a waitress, but it does work out very well, though. I currently coach a three cheerleading team. I've cheered and danced all my life. So after high school, I just kind of naturally went straight to coaching. This year is my fourth year coaching cheerleading for an organization called Northern Kentucky Youth Association. And I coach a 3 and 4 year old team, which they are adorable. And a 5 and 6 year old team and a 7 and 8 year old team I assistant coach. So I keep myself pretty busy between working and going to school and coaching. I just recently moved back in with my parents, which is very, very exciting. And I plan on moving out completely on my own in about a month.
Oh, wow.
No roommates or anything. I just had a roommate for about a year and a half. And you know, things happen. So I moved back in with my parents until I can find my own place on my own. I like my independence and my freedom way too much to be with my parents. Honestly. I've been taking care of myself for a while now, so.
Wow, you have a lot going on. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that doesn't even cover the National Stuttering Association. I've been involved with National Stuttering Association for about 2.5 years now. My first conference was in Cleveland in 2010, and I completely fell in love with the NSA then at my first conference, and I instantly wanted to find ways to get involved. So I applied for the Teen Advisor Council, or the TAC, which there are 7 members currently on the TAC, and we kind of act as mentors or role models for the younger teenagers, and we plan workshops and plan activities for the conference, you know, help teenagers out who might be first timers or don't know what they're doing at the conference, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was everywhere at the conference. And then from the Teen Advisory Council, I am now the TAC chairperson on the board of directors. So I'm a little busy with the NSA also. I love it though.
When do you have time to sleep?
I don't. And that's the funny part is like a Stephanie Coppin is a new family programs administrator for NSA and being the TAC chairperson, me and her are constantly emailing each other back and forth. You know, I write articles for the NSA newsletter all the time. You know, I'm sending her stuff at like 2 a.m. and she's like, when do you sleep? I'm like, I really don't actually, I didn't sleep last night. I get to doing homework and stuff, and I don't like sleeping, honestly. It's a waste of my time. I have other things to do. That's funny.
Yeah, you sound like one of those women that wishes that maybe there was 30 hours in a day instead of just 24.
Oh yeah, absolutely, totally. That's totally me.
So your first National Stuttering Association conference was in 2010. How did you first find out about the NSA and that there even was self-help available for stuttering?
Okay, this story is so funny. I tell it all the time. And a guy who was involved with my Cincinnati chapter currently, he brags about me and tells the story all the time. But basically, I heard about the NSA maybe my sophomore year in high school. I went to speech therapy all my life. I stopped going in middle school. I started going my freshman year in high school again. And I just wasn't very satisfied with speech therapy, but what I got out of it though was self-confidence, which is a huge thing for somebody who stutters. And I remember my speech therapist in my freshman or sophomore year in high school just mentioning something about the National Stuttering Association and saying it was out there. And then I remember the conference was in Atlanta. Well, I stopped going to speech therapy my sophomore year, and I never was involved in self-help groups or anything like that. And then as soon as I graduated from high school in 2010, I for some odd reason, I just got online and started looking up stuff about stuttering. I don't remember what grabbed my attention or what my thought was. I might have just been having a bad speech week, you know, graduating high school or something. I have no idea. But I just decided to go online and research stuttering, and then I found it. Of the National Stuttering Association remembered it from my sophomore year, from my speech therapist mentioning it to me. And I was looking online at in the middle of June, in the middle to later June in 2010, and I saw that the NSA conference was in Cleveland, which is about 4.5 hours from me, and I was like, and I was like, no way, I have to go. You know, it's 3 weeks away. It's 3 weeks away, but I have to go. So I wrote Tammy, who is the director of the NSA, and the NSA gives out scholarships to people who might not be able to afford the conference. I wrote her 3 weeks before the Cleveland conference, asking her what she can do help me, that I can pay some of my way. I can drive up there. I'm 4.5 hours away. I don't need a flight. I just need a place to stay. She helped me out a little bit by paying for one of my nights there. And I told my parents about this. I had this great plan that I was gonna drive up to Cleveland all by myself and stay in a hotel room all by myself. And this ended up being a huge fight between me and my parents. I was only 18, like right out of high school, you know, and I was ready to go on this road trip that was 4.5 hours away to a place that I'd never been. I did not know a single person at the NSA conference. My parents were begging me to let them go with me, and I wouldn't let them go because my parents are very supportive, but they would go to the NSA conference not for the right reason, you know, like they wanted to go to make sure I was okay, make sure I was safe, you know, instead of like going to learn more about stuttering and attend workshops and everything like that. So I knew their reasoning, and I knew they wanted to come because they were afraid of my safety, but I was 18 and I was ready to go alone. So the fight pursued, and I eventually just I just got in my car and left and drove 4.5 hours to Cleveland to a conference that I had never been to and I knew absolutely nobody at. And that was a story right there.
Wow. And what was it like for you? What was the conference like?
Outstanding. I remember getting there on that Thursday afternoon. I left Thursday morning and drove up by myself. I remember getting there finally with my bags and everything. I was supposed to find Tammy. I had no idea what she looked like or anything. I was just like walking around, you know, like mind blown. And then I finally found like the registration site and stuff and met Tammy. And I guess my actual day would have been Thursday. No, I got there Wednesday night. I'm sorry. My actual first day would have been Thursday and attending the first timers and then the teams. It was so overwhelming. And I just knew like sitting in all the workshops and stuff, I knew that I wanted to be on the teen advisory council. I wanted to be planning all these workshops, you know. I was already confident enough, you know. I was confident in my stuttering. I was confident as who I was. I didn't ever want to change my stuttering. And I just knew when I saw the teens that were on the TAC that I wanted to be them. It is very overwhelming when you go to a conference like that with, you know, 700 people who stutter and you go alone. And I remember it was so hard for me because I've met a few people who stutter, but not like to the point where like I've met adults who stutter and like people who are like 80 years old who stutter. Like, it's amazing to me. Like I had never met people who are that old and stutter. And I remember like, being on the elevator for the first time and we all have our name tags and stuff that let each other know that we're with the NSA. And I remember being on the elevator and stuff and just meeting random people. And like in the back of my head, I'm constantly like aware of my stuttering and like afraid that I'm going to stutter when I say my name. And then I'm like, oh crap, I don't have to worry about that now. Wait a minute. I'm like, I don't have to worry about if I stutter when I say my name or not now. Like I was so self-conscious at first because that's how I always am when I meet somebody new. You know, I stutter on my name constantly. So it was the weirdest feeling ever. I remember like not having to worry about meeting somebody and stuttering on your name. And it's just instant friendships there also. You know, my best friend now is Courtney Ross and she lives in New Jersey. It was just an instant friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Wow. Now, look, can we just slow it down just a little bit? I have like four or five questions that I want to ask you, and
yeah,
I feel like you just like given so much information.
I do that. And I'm a very fast talker, also. So if I'm talking too fast for you, let me know. I know I'm a fast talker, and when I get into these conversations, I just go on and on and on. I'm aware. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine, and I can tell that you're excited. And you know, being excited to talk about stuttering is all good. So don't even worry about it. One of the things that just popped into my head as I was listening to you is you talked about that you already were feeling confident enough with your stuttering that you knew when you saw that there was the Teen Advisory Council that you wanted to be part of it. But you also mentioned that you've been, you know, that you're often self-conscious about, you know, stuttering when you meet somebody new. So to me, that kind of, it didn't quite jive. So can you just kind of like maybe share a little insight about that?
Of course. The way I see it is everybody always says they don't care about what other people think, you know, but deep down inside of ourselves, we will always care about what other people think. No matter how many times we say we don't care about what the public thinks or what other people think. So I am very confident in my stuttering. I always have been, you know. I'm very open. I'm very, I advertise a lot. I advertised in high school telling my teachers, and I advertise by giving presentations and stuff. So I've always been very open about it. But then again, though, when you first meet somebody, that's not what you want them to see. You know what I mean? You don't want them to see you as, honestly, as somebody who's dumb or, you mentally handicapped or something like that. And that's what a lot of the stereotypes involved in stuttering are, you know, that we're dumb, we're not going to understand it. If you talk to us, we're weird and stuff like that. So as much as I say I don't care about what other people think and I'm confident, then again, though, I do care what other people think. I'm always going to care. I try not to, but I'm always going to care, especially with that first impression that you want to give somebody. You don't want to have to shake somebody's hand all the time and say, hi, my name is Miranda. I'm a person who stutters, so excuse my stuttering, you know?
Right.
In a way, I'm very open about my stuttering, but in a way, though, I hide my stuttering a lot. I'm a waitress. I hide my stuttering a lot at work. But then again, I'm involved with NSA. I'm very open about my stuttering. I post stuff on Facebook all the time about the NSA and everything. It's just two different, I want to say it's two different lifestyles, but it is two different sides of the story I kind of see, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how do you hide it as a waitress?
This is so weird. I don't know. Like, I've been serving tables for 3 years now, and I don't know how I do it. Like, when I'm in that work mode, I guess, that I just say the same things over and over again. So I get used to it, you know? I don't know what it is. I think it might be that I talk in a different voice, too, when I'm, like, in that work mode, maybe.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But at work, though, I can wait tables for 6-7 hours straight and not stutter one bit. But as soon as one of my customers, like, gets into a conversation with me, you know, asks about school, asks me about something else that is not involved in my work, then I start stuttering. It's very weird that I get compliments all the time about it, that I don't stutter one bit. You know, I can hop from table to table and not stutter one bit. Mm-hmm. It's very, very weird. I don't know.
So what happens when you do get into, like, that kind of casual conversation with a customer and you do start stuttering? I mean, how do you react when that happens?
I'm totally fine about it. They're the ones with a problem. I could care less if I stuttered in front of a customer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess they're not going to say anything. But then again, though, it's that awkward smile I get a lot. Like, oh, what's going on now? You know, you were just totally fine a minute ago when you were waiting on me. And then I asked you a question. And now you just turned really weird on me and started stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, like, you're in public and usually nobody's going to say anything, like, ask you what just happened. You know, you were just perfectly fluent a minute ago and now you're not. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, though, I shouldn't say that I never stutter at work, though, because I've had my instances, you know, where I have not, I don't want to say, like, slipped up, but that's what I consider it. You know, when I'm perfectly fluent and all of a sudden I stutter in front of a customer when I'm completely in the middle of taking their order or something. And it's one of those things, like, you have to brush off your shoulder, you know, like, I try to remember that I'm the employee here and they're the customer. If it was the other way around, as where, like, I'm the customer and a server is taking my order and they laugh at my stuttering, that can obviously say something because they're the employee. But the other way around, where I'm the stuttering waitress and they're the customer, I can't go off on them or call them mean names or anything like that, because I have to be still a waitress and still an employee. It's not my job.
Right. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had somebody make fun of you, just, you know, nervously because they didn't know how to react, or somebody, you know, blatantly making fun of your stuttering?
Oh, absolutely. Like, just straight up laugh in my face when I'm, like, at their table, of course. And it's one of those things, like, you have to, like laugh with them and give them that smile, you know, because you don't want to, if I'm going to say something to about stuttering, then I'm going to be mean about it. That's just how I am. You know, I'm going to be like, oh, excuse me, I'm a person who stutters, and you could be a little bit more nicer about it. And then I might lose my job over that. So it's just one of those things that I just have to, like, smile and nod my head, like, yeah, I just stuttered. I'm sorry. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks for laughing. I have, actually, though. I waited on a young girl. She has to be about my age, about 20 or so. And I noticed that she had Tourette's. You know, I'm very good at picking up that stuff. You know, I consider kind of stuttering and Tourette's almost the same thing. more like sisters almost, because they're very like involuntary movements. You know, I do a facial contortion just like somebody with Tourette's would. And I was waiting on a girl that I noticed had Tourette's or had tics. And I stuttered at her table because I guess I just got comfortable because I knew that she had a disability like mine. And she straight up laughed, in my face that I stuttered. And I just had to walk away because you have a slight form of Tourette that I've noticed, and you're stuttering and you're laughing at my stuttering.
How'd that make you feel?
Oh, I think I laughed it off, honestly. I'm pretty positive I came home that night and I wrote a Facebook status about it because, like, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. You know, I would never make fun of anybody, I guess, because I had that heart that I don't want to say it's a disability. I hate calling my stuttering a disability, but in reality it is, I know. But I hate calling it a disability. But I have that heart for, like, for mentally handicapped people and people with Tourette's. You know, I have that huge heart for them because I have a disability myself. I know I do. And so I would never make fun of somebody who had Tourette's or was mentally handicapped or even use that term like retard in a funny sense, you know? So I just walked away and laughed about it. Like, really? Are you serious right now? You have just about the same problem as me, and you know anyone is like to go through it. But then again, you just laughed in my face at my stuttering. I just laughed it off. Mm-hmm. I can't be mad. I can't get upset. What's the point in that?
Right. You know, did you ever consider that that maybe you were the first person that she'd ever met that stutters, and maybe genuinely she didn't know how to react?
Of course, and that's how a lot of people are. You know, the general public isn't very educated about stuttering, even though it is out there. People aren't educated, and they don't know how to react to it. I completely understand that. That's why I don't get mad if somebody laughs. I don't get mad if somebody, you know, mocks my stuttering. I can't get mad at them. It's not their fault that they're uneducated about stuttering. So I just laugh it off most of the time. I'm never gonna see that girl again in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. So I get mad and upset and cry over it. Really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna deal with this the rest of my life. I have to conquer it somehow.
Mm-hmm. So what about your co-workers and your managers and stuff at work? Do they know, and are they supportive?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Actually, a lot of my customers know. I have a lot of regular customers that come in, mm-hmm. and we talk, and I sit down with them. We have like regular conversations.
Oh nice.
So a lot of my regular customers know about stuttering and about the National Stuttering Association and the work I do with the NSA and everything. I held a fundraiser at my work back in September for the National Stuttering Association.
Oh wow.
Yeah, my work does these things called 10% night, mm-hmm. where 10% of Gold Star's profits would go to an organization between 5 and 9. Usually it's like schools and sports and stuff. But my manager is actually, well, was actually my roommate, and so I asked her if I could do a 10% night for the National Stuttering Association since we're a nonprofit organization. And she said, yeah, absolutely. And basically my job though is to get people to come that night to and eat because the more money Gold Star makes, the more money the National Stuttering Association makes.
Mm-hmm.
So I made flyers and actually passed them out to all my regular customers. I hung up flyers at work, you know, and of course all my coworkers knew about the fundraiser and knew exactly, you know, what the National Stuttering Association was. And then the night of my fundraiser, I had a little table set up with a purple a tablecloth and everything. And I had info about the National Stuttering Association. I had info about the Cincinnati chapter of the National Stuttering Association and the youth chapter of the National Stuttering Association in Cincinnati. And and I had copies of A Family Voices and Letting Go, which is NSA's newsletter, and I had like the Stutter Like a Rockstar bracelets, which were a huge hit. Everybody loved them. Everybody did. And I had the If You Stutter, You're Not Alone pins also laid out. So everybody's kind of helped themselves. I also had like a donation jar. So people were donating money also. I ended up raising $410 that night.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. And the percentage of it that came from Gold Star, where I held the fundraiser at the 10% part, they gave $155. So the rest of it was just, you know, in donations. And I had customers, the fundraiser started at 5 o'clock. When I got there at 5 o'clock to hang out during the fundraiser, I had already had $45 in cash donations, where my regular customers had stopped by and told my manager, hey, look, I'm not going to be there, but will you let Miranda know that I left $10 for a fundraiser?
Oh, that's so terrific.
Yeah, it's just so a lot of my customers do know, and it made me very excited. Like a week or two after the fundraiser, one of my regular customers came in and he was wearing a Stutter Like a Rockstar bracelet. So
that's
the best ever.
That's really exciting. That's great. It must really make you feel good to be in a position where you're able to, you know, give back in such a way and hopefully make a difference for somebody else, like the NSA made a difference for you, right?
Exactly, and that was the goal right there. They had provided me with help on getting to the conference at one point, so I had to provide somebody else help, is the way I saw it. I had to. I love doing it. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not only is it a lot of fun, but it's just like, you know, instant advertising. I mean, with everything that you were doing there, I mean, it sounds like you also really educated a lot of people about what stuttering is and why it's important to put it out there.
Exactly. And my customers are now asking me if I'm going to do it again this year. I said, of course.
Oh, that's really nice. That's so great. And what about in college? You said that you're studying computer science, and you might actually possibly look at the career track of computer forensics, but you're not sure yet.
Yeah. And is the question asking me like in college about studying or for jobs?
Yeah. I was just kind of just verifying that's what you are studying in college. But yeah, what's it like for you in college? And you know, how supportive are your classmates and stuff?
In college is kind of it's different than high school. You know, all my classes, I do go to a very small school compared to like the University of Kentucky or the University of Louisville. I go to Northern Kentucky University. And I don't know the numbers or whatever, but I do know it's a very small school. We have like average 25 to 30 kids per class, but mm-hmm. I've had classes that have 65 in them. I participate in class discussions, but in a lot of my classes though, I don't get the opportunity to participate in class discussions. So, and I don't make friends at school. I work almost full time. I lived on my own for a while. I coach cheerleading. I go to school just to go to school, and that's it. I don't go there and hang out and live in the dorms and play sports, you know. I'm not living like college life, you know. I don't party every weekend and stuff like that. So I don't go to school just to make friends or anything like that. So a Saturday in college doesn't really affect anything, I guess, because I participate in class, but nothing's ever said. I did have one instance. I had to take a speech class, and the speech class that I took though was called creative expression. It was more like an acting class,
oh,
more than an actual speech class. And I thought that I wouldn't stutter if I had to act, because I can act goofy and stuff like that. And if I'm talking in a different voice, maybe I can talk in an accent when I'm acting, you know, I won't stutter as much. But that didn't really happen like I thought it would. I was, man, that's the weird thing about stuttering. Like I really thought I had this planned out, but it did not happen. So I thought I should probably advertise to my teacher and let them know that I'm a person who stutters, that you have to be patient, that it cannot, affect my grade or anything. But I decided not to because, I don't know, I was in college and not in high school anymore, and I didn't want to I didn't want to have to go through like special treatment and announce that. So I just let the pink elephant in the room just be the pink elephant, And eventually, before the end of the semester, he pulled me aside at the very end of class and asked me about it. And I was just like, yeah, it's just something I deal with every day. Is that because I'm nervous or anything like that? It's all the time. So other than that, though, I haven't really had any experiences in college and stuttering because I go there and take my notes and leave and come back and take the test and leave. And that's my college experience.
Why did you pick computer as your major?
Money. Honestly, like it's a job security and computers. It has nothing to do with stuttering. A lot of people think that I can hide behind a computer all day and not have to worry about stuttering and stuff. But for me though, it's the money. I've always been good with computers. I actually want to go into web design and development and explore my creative side.
Oh.
But then I also like the criminal justice and law enforcement side of it too. So I kind of want to just do both.
So are you taking a variety of classes that touch on both tracks?
Yes. Technically my track is computer information technology with a specialty track of web design and development, and then I'm minoring in computer forensics. So I have a lot, it's a broad range. If one fails, I can always fall back on the other one.
Right.
I see it. And the money involved is terrific. That's exactly why I'm doing it. And I know that's for all the wrong reasons, but the money is kind of important.
Well, actually, that's not for the wrong reasons. For many years, I was a high school career counselor, and I certainly would advise, young people to consider, what their goals are and what their opportunities are. And it's a very smart decision for you to be thinking about a career in the computer field, because that's the way of the world. And there's always going to be jobs in that field. And with such a difficult economy, it is very smart for you to be thinking about job security and being able to make enough money to support yourself and maybe one day a family. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with, thinking about stability and money first. That's a smart way to go.
Exactly. I don't want to graduate high school like with like a random degree and then be working in a factory somewhere because I can't find a job that fits my degree. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste that money, So.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there a lot of women in your computer science classes?
No, not at all.
That's what I thought.
I'm the only girl most of the time. There's like I've only had a few so far. I'm a sophomore, but I've only had a few computer classes so far, and usually I'm the only girl or there's another girl and that's it. It's all guys. Like I have an online class right now, and it's called Intro to Web Design, and I love the class. But my online class has a group project. Like we have group projects a three times in the semester, and my group is all guys, and then there's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to it by now. And then they all think I'm weird because I'm a girl trying to fit in. And all these computer science classes and everything, but it works out to my favor. I have great group members who help me out if I'm struggling and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I am the only girl in most classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked that because I kind of figured that because computer science does still tend to be dominated by, males, as does a lot of the STEM stuff, science, technology, engineering, and math. So actually, I commend you for choosing that field because we definitely need more women in
I
those
agree.
fields.
I agree. I just had to do a report actually. I had to interview two people who worked in the IT field, and I actually found a woman who worked in the IT field, and I got to interview her. So I was really excited about that because I really didn't think I was gonna find a woman who worked in the IT field. I really had my doubts about that, but she was a systems administrator and was very highly ranked at her job. So
Great, great. Now,
impressive.
are you gonna have to do an internship or anything like that when you get to be a junior or a senior?
Yeah, I'll be a junior next spring. So I'm looking for co-ops and internships right now. And considering that I live right by a huge city, there's plenty of opportunities with that. And then my college always holds like job fairs that offer those things. But with CIT jobs or computer science jobs, there's a huge need for a co-op or an internship because when you get out of college, jobs are going to be looking for somebody with experience.
Right.
They don't really care much about the degree, what they do, but they look for that experience also. So I'll be looking for a co-op or an internship within the next year. Start.
Do you have an idea of what you'd like to do as far
Not
as
at all.
the internship?
Not at all. I would love to an intern at like a sheriff's office or police department or something like that and get involved in that side of it because it's so interesting and there's such a variety. I love the criminal justice side. In high school, I wanted to be a police officer, but the money just isn't involved there. So I would love that side of it. But right now, my options are very open. I'm very young. My options are very open. I have a year to go until I really need to get involved into a co-op or internship. So I'm just kind of keeping my options open.
Which is again smart because again at your age you're not supposed to know what you want to do with the rest of your life yet.
But I want to know though. I'm one of those people who I have to know exactly what I'm gonna do it for my entire life. Like I want to know. It's killing me not knowing. I want
Yeah,
to know.
kind of not knowing also leaves you open to be able to explore other opportunities that come your way. So, hopefully you'll get great exposure to a number of things so that you can really make some decisions about what you'd like to do, but what you're really good at too.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was it like growing up, being a kid who stutters? Was your family
Well,
supportive?
it is. They are. I stuttered from when I was really young. I went to speech therapy. I started going to speech therapy when I was like 3 or 4. I actually stopped stuttering in the 4th grade. Imagine that. It was the weirdest thing ever. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't understand any of it. And then I moved in between the summer of 5th and 6th grade, and then in the 6th grade when I started middle school, I started stuttering again. I don't believe it's because of the move or anything like that. It just kind of happened. I stuttered when I was a kid. I stopped for a couple years, and then it came back. I don't understand why or how or anything. But my family is very supportive though, I would say. But with my family, though, it's something that we don't really talk about. You know what I mean? It's there. It's there. We all know it's there. It's obvious. And I would seek therapy, but my family is very supportive. But they don't come to the NSA conferences and stuff like that and learn more about stuttering. It's there. I don't know. It's hard to explain honestly. I think I do applaud that though. That it wasn't it wasn't really talked about so much. Like, I went and applied for a job when I was 16, for example, and there was never any question, you know, oh, how are you going to be a hostess when you stutter, you know? That question was never brought up at all. I was a cheerleader, you know. The question was never brought up, you know, how are you going to be a cheerleader when you stutter? So I do applaud that a lot because then I grew up thinking that that I was no different. I never wanted a special treatment or anything like that. I could do whatever I wanted to do with stuttering. So I think that's where I really got my confidence from, was from my family being supportive, but not pointing my stuttering out.
Right, right.
Is that making sense, how I'm saying that? It was not like a daily topic, you know. I didn't come home from school and my parents asked me, oh, so how was your speech today? You
right.
That wasn't brought up. You know, I just kind of went along my daily activities. My parents never asked me, you know, how are you going to be a server and stutter?
Right.
Like, that's impossible, isn't it? So I do applaud that a lot because I don't think I would be who I am today or be where I'm at today if my parents were, like, any more supportive, you know, like, asked me a million and 12 questions about my stuttering every day.
Mm-hmm.
So my family's very supportive about it. They actually all came to my fundraiser, even though they don't come to any of the conferences or anything like that. But other than that, though, I don't remember growing up with stuttering. I have a bad memory, I think.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do. I have four stepbrothers.
Oh.
I have a half brother. Mm-hmm. I have a stepsister and two half sisters. So
oh, wow, big family.
Eight. Yeah, but then they're all spread out everywhere. You know, like my stepbrothers live with my dad. My stepsister lives with my mom. My half brother lives with my grandparents. You know, they're all over the place. So. But none of them a stutter though. Mm-hmm. My dad stuttered when he was younger.
Oh, really?
Yep. But he I guess stopped stuttering, if that's what you want to call it, or grew out of it when he was like seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe that's where my stuttering comes from is the gene that we've all found of stuttering. And I noticed stuttering in my dad a lot. It might be just him repeating things, but I noticed stuttering in him a lot now.
Yeah.
But none of my other siblings stutter whatsoever. I do remember though. I do have a story involving a stuttering in my siblings though. My older half brother, he is 25. We're 5 years apart. I remember I had him in like the sixth or seventh grade. And me and him always used to fight constantly, like just like just like brother and sister. I remember in like the sixth or seventh grade, he told me one day that if I don't grow out of my stuttering by the time I'm a freshman in high school, then my life is going to be hell.
Oh, yuck!
I know, right? But that's all I remember though from growing up and stuttering and my siblings. It was never really brought up, honestly. You know, my siblings aren't that mean that they would make fun of me for stuttering or anything like that. And my parents would have probably killed them anyway. So,
yeah. So are you going to the conference this year in Florida?
Of course. I kind of have to be there. I'm on the PAC and the board of directors.
Oh.
I have to be there.
Okay.
We're the TAC actually has just started a planning workshops and everything, so it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Have you asked your parents if they'd be interested in going, or do you just assume they're not in interested?
Well, they want to go this year because it's in Florida. No, they're not coming.
Obviously, no.
Yeah, I kind of like going alone, though. I like my independence and my freedom and hanging out with my friends. You know, the last conference, I stayed in a room with five other people, I think it was. Like,
oh, my God.
Room. You know, it's cheap that way, though. You know, I'm never in my hotel room anyway, so why do I need a hotel room?
Right.
I just need a place to lay my head for about 3 hours, and I'm good.
Mm-hmm. It all It almost sounds a little bit like you like keeping your stuttering and your stuttering activities to yourself and kind of like separate from the rest of your family.
I do kind of. It's kind of my own thing, you know? And they won't understand a lot of it. Like I know they would, but they wouldn't understand at the same time, you know? They don't. I hate saying that that they don't stutter, so they're not gonna understand. But honestly, that's kind of what it is. Like my grandpa, for example, me and him are pretty close, and we go out to eat all the time and stuff. I go down to his house and hang out with him and everything, and we were at breakfast one morning, and he just didn't understand the work that I did with the NSA, like, and me being on the teen advisory council and everything. He just didn't understand why some people aren't okay with their stuttering. Like, I don't know, Grandpa. Like, why do you think? Like, he just couldn't quite like fathom the idea. Like, why wouldn't somebody be okay with it? It's totally fine, you know? You know? I don't know. So
Yeah.
I like to keep it to myself. I talk to him about it and stuff, but they don't understand like the NSA conference, how big it is, how the workshops that are involved. So I do keep it to myself a lot.
So and you mentioned at the at the start of our conversation that you have a you're part of the NSA chapter in Cincinnati, and you also have a Twist chapter.
Yes, I'm actually the chapter leader for the Twist chapter here in Cincinnati.
Do you get teens to come?
We started the Twist chapter about a year and a half ago. For the first year, we did awesome. Like we had up to 8 teens coming. We did awesome, and something happened with my email. Like I used to send out emails every month, you know, reminding people so they would come. Well, my email was canceled, so I lost all that contact information, and so I stopped sending out emails. So people stopped coming in December. So me and my co-leader still come every month and just wait. But we haven't had teens in about 3 or 4 months, sadly. And I went around and posted flyers. It's hard to start and keep up a Twist chapter, you know. Teens, at age of 12 and 13, some don't want to come and are forced to come by their parents. And it's not like they drive themselves and have that freedom. And also with school and sports activities and stuff, I understand that kids get busy and everything. So our Twist chapter is struggling just a tad little bit, but about our adult chapter that was doing great. We've had up to 15 attend. You know, we have speech therapists attend every now and then. We used to be different than all the other chapters, and we used to meet at a different restaurant every month and just kind of hang out. You know, it was more like a social thing. We still talk about stuttering, but it was very social. But sometimes that's what people who stutter need, is just that social aspect of it, you know, to remind them again that we're not alone. But the past 2 months, though, we have been meeting. One of our members owns a daycare, so we have been meeting at his daycare and talking and actually having, you know, deeper conversations about stuttering. It's been going great, except for we sit in these little tiny itty bitty chairs that are like hardly a foot off the ground.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Well, listen, to kind of head towards wrapping up, 'cause the time flew as it always does.
I
We've been talking for 45 minutes already. It's just amazing how the time flies.
Wow.
But what advice would you give to a teenage girl who stutters, who hasn't found the support community like you have? How would you advise her to begin the roads towards acceptance if she hasn't?
Let's see. I would say, just be yourself. You can't change yourself, and the reality of it is that stuttering is not just gonna go away. And you only have one life to live. If you have to live your life stuttering, it's a lot better than, sorry, I don't mean to say a lot better, but it always could be worse, honestly. You could have no arm, you could have no leg, you could be blind, you could not be able to talk at all, So somebody in the world out there is a lot worse off than you. I might stutter through every other word that I say, but I can still say what I'm trying to say. Eventually, I'll get my words out. So be yourself and be happy with who you are, because it's not going to change. You were made the way you were made for a reason, and you just have to find that reason, I guess.
Well, thank you for that piece of advice, and thank you overall for taking the time to share with us. You're so positive and upbeat and enthusiastic. I can tell that you're really going to go a long way in impacting the stuttering community, and I'm glad we had this opportunity to meet each other and to chat a little bit. Thanks for sharing everything that you did. You've got a real inspiring story.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's my pleasure. I loved it. You're
And
doing an awesome job.
well, thank you, and so did you, Miranda, and I loved having you as a guest.
Thank you.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.